You're tuned in to You Better You Bet on the BetMGM Network and streaming live on NBC Sports Now, presented by BetMGM on the BetMGM Network.
Turn it up, Jake. Welcome in to the NBC Sports Now Power Hour. This is You Better You Bet, presented by BetMGM. I'm PJ Glasser. That is Jared Smith. We're filling in for Nick and Femi here the entire week on the show as those guys are off on vacation. We got a jam-packed hour coming at you here up until 7 p.m. Eastern time. We are 50 days away from the start of the NFL season. 5-0, folks. That's it. It's going to be here before we know it. Jared and I are going to talk about some of our favorite week one bets that we have. Brad Thomas is going to join us coming up in 20 minutes. We're going to get all of his favorite plays for the Open Championship out at Royal Portrush, which begins tomorrow. And then we're going to wrap the show with our favorite bets. Brad Evans of BetMGM Tonight is going to join us as well. So a lot coming up here during the NBC Sports Now Power Hour. But Jared, let's talk some NFL. Let's talk week one. Again, 50 days away from Cowboys and Eagles. Philly, a 6.5-point favorite in that game with the total at 46.5. Actually, a 7-point favorite at BetMGM. Eagles are going to be a very popular teaser play in that game.
Yeah, probably.
I would think. But as you look at the entire week one slate, Jared, what's a game or two that really sticks out to you? Maybe a game that you already bet.
So I think if there's a bet to make right now where I feel like I am going to get closing line value come week one, I do think the Vikings are going to close a favorite at the Bears. And, you know, it's tight right now, right? I got +1.5. It's still +1.5 at BetMGM. There's other shops I'm seeing here in town, some sharper shops that are already at a pick 'em. And I know what you're saying. How often do games land one? Well, thanks for asking that question. I'll tell you right now, because I've had the key numbers up in front of me because I was looking at them earlier. Margin of victory over the last 24 seasons. Games land one 4% of the time. Is it a key number? No. Is it a secondary key number? Eh. Is it more than 2, 8, 5, 17, 21, 13? Yes. So it lands one more than you think. Again, games land one more than they land two. I'll repeat that again. Games land one more than they land two in the NFL. So if you can take 1.5 when a game's pick 'em lined elsewhere, I think I feel like I'd rather have 1.5 in my back pocket. The other game that I bet already that has moved, but I still think there is a little bit of wiggle room, is Bengals Browns under. I got 46.5. We're down to 45 now. In fact, I would say even trending towards 44.5. Key totals in the NFL, 44, the most key. It lands almost 4% of the time. 51 is also important. 37, 43, 40, 47, 48, 55, 45. So I prefer it over that key of 45. But 44.5 being the most key, I still think if you're betting under 44.5 between the Browns and the Bengals, you should feel good about that. Divisional underdogs tend to do well week one. Divisional home underdogs do really well week one. Divisional unders, also a very profitable trend over the last couple of decades in the NFL. The narrative makes sense. The coachings, they know each other very well. The players, they face each other twice a year. And it's an early high leverage game because your divisional record usually determines the tiebreaker if you win the division. So you get a little bit more clench, you know, the cheeks a little clenched tighter early on in a week one divisional game. So I think that's my early vibe, is the Vikings as a dog and the under in the Browns Bengals are my two picks that I've locked in already for week one.
Probably my two favorite bets are out of the NFC North, the two NFC North games that we have, Lions-Packers 425, which is going to be a CBS game, actually. It's going to be Jim and Tony will be at that one. And then the Monday night game between the Vikings and the Bears. I like the total in Vikings-Bears, Jerry. You just talked about that AFC North matchup, Bengals-Browns, divisional unders week one. I like another divisional under at the same number, 44.5. This game's on Monday Night Football, Jared, right? So they're going to get their own pregame show. Everybody is going to talk about the offenses in this game. They're going to talk about what KOC did with Darnold, what the Vikings offense did last year, J.J. McCarthy coming in. Going to talk offense. Obviously, with the Bears, you're going to talk offense. With Ben Johnson, can he turn Caleb Williams into a star? They added Luther Burden in the offseason, all these things. And I think we're going to be overlooking both defenses in this game. Brian Flores has done a terrific job since he's been in Minnesota with that defense. They should have another really good defense this year. That Bears defense was very good for early parts of the season last year. Then obviously fell off when the season kind of unraveled on them. But again, divisional game. Rookie quarterback in J.J. McCarthy, essentially, making his first start, even though it's his second year. He's hurt all of last year, as we know. Rookie quarterback making his first start on the road in prime time against a divisional opponent. Ben Johnson and the Bears, their first game in his new scheme, all the pressure around them at home. To me, Jared, this feels like a 19-17, 2017 kind of game. So I like the under there. And then Packers-Lions, man. I like Green Bay on the money line at minus 125. They were initially underdog when the lines opened up, when the schedule was released. We got lines. Lions were 1.5-point favorite. Now the Packers have become a 1.5-point favorite. And I agree with the line movement. I like Green Bay in this matchup. Detroit obviously is going to have to replace a lot of coaches on their staff this offseason. They lost Ben Johnson, their OC, Aaron Glenn, their DC. And those guys took a bunch of coaches off that Lions coaching staff as well. So they got to replace a lot of new on that coaching staff. One of the more underrated losses, I think, of the offseason was Detroit losing Frank Ragnow, their center, who was so good for them. We all think about the Lions, obviously, all these weapons that they have on offense, but they also had one of the best offensive lines the last couple years. Now you lose a key piece of that. And on any offense for any quarterback, losing a center that big, losing a center who's that important is going to be big. But especially when you have a quarterback like Jared Goff, who is not a mobile guy, really relies on his line to protect him. And that's why he's been so successful the last couple seasons. So I expect a lot of regression from Goff this year. You know, he's playing six games outdoor this year as opposed to three last season. We all know the numbers on Goff, indoor and outdoor. But I think Ben Johnson put him in just so many situations to succeed that he's obviously not going to have. Now you're losing a key piece of your O-line. Gibbs is amazing. Amon-Ra's awesome. Love the offensive weapons still. But Goff is going to be the key, and I don't think he's going to be as good as he's been the last couple of years. I think that starts week one. You're also going to have a healthy Jordan Love for Green Bay. Matthew Golden comes in to help out that receiving core. Healthy Josh Jacobs. Defense could be ready to go. And we all know Lambeau's a difficult place to play, especially in these showdown-type matchups. So I'll take the Packers money line, Jared Smith, and I'll take under in Vikings-Bears, couple of plays for me in week one.
I like it, and we talked about this in our last hour. I'll give you this little, you know, I guess it's a lesson, but to me it's just more like a guideline. If we're betting week one, you should automatically be looking at week two. Why? Because the biggest adjustments typically are made between weeks one and two on the look-ahead numbers. For example, PJ just made a great case for why the Green Bay Packers, I won't call it an upset, but that would be a pretty big win after they got beat twice by the Lions last year. If they beat the Lions in week one, that will be a big boost to the Packers' ratings. Who do the Packers play in week two? They're a short favorite at home against Washington on a Thursday night. I'm willing to bet that if PJ is right on his Packers take and they beat the Lions week one, that game week two against the Commanders goes from 1.5-2 probably to 3. So if you do think the Packers are going to beat the Lions week one, and I think it's a very good analysis job done by PJ, then you should also be betting the Packers in week two, because the 1.5-2 that's available right now is probably going to be 3. And then, oh, by the way, what if the Giants beat the Commanders in week one? That could also happen too, right? So again, if you want to bet the NFL like a pro, and I'm not saying I'm a pro, I'm telling you, I work with a lot of them, and this is the information they give me. They say if you're going week one on a certain side that you feel really strongly about, and you look ahead to week two, and you're not bullish on that team in week two, then why are you betting them in week one? Because if they win in week one, and you're right, the number's going to move significantly, maybe not significantly. The number will move more than it would if they just win in week 14, from week 14 to week 15, because the ratings are still kind of getting figured out. So if you agree with PJ, you should bet the Packers week one against the Lions. You should also take a unit and bet the Packers in week two on Thursday night at home against the Commanders, because odds are that number goes from 1.5 to 2.5, maybe even to 3. You can either keep your 1.5 feeling pretty good, or you come back on Commanders plus 3. You play both sides. You hope for a 2-point game. So I think that this is how the professionals view the NFL markets. They are always trying to think 1, 2, 3 moves ahead. And I think between week one and week two is when you get the most movement, typically on the look-ahead lines.
Yeah, that is a terrific analysis. And week two of the NFL, we were talking about earlier, one of my favorite just betting weeks of the year. It's just so fascinating. All the overreaction, underreaction to certain teams, to see how the lines move. People talk about the games throughout the week. So really good stuff. Week one, look ahead to week two as well. Another bet that, piquing my interest, Jared Smith. Your neck of the woods, the Las Vegas Raiders plus 3 against the Patriots. I mean, nice enough for getting a key number. Jared, I think the Raiders are the better football team. I really do. I think the Raiders are better than the Patriots, and I'm getting a plus 3. I know a lot of people are high on Drake May. I'm not one of those people. I think he's a fine player. I'm not ready to anoint Drake May into superstar status. Like, there are a bunch of people that think New England's found their guy. They think that they've found their franchise quarterback. I don't know if that's the case yet. I got to see more. That's not saying I'm wrong and he couldn't be that. I don't know if he's there yet. And we're certainly pricing the Patriots this season like Drake May is the dude. Like he's going to take a big step forward and he's going to be the guy. Obviously love the hire of Vrabel in the offseason. I think he's one of the better coaches in the NFL. But, Jared, this was a team that was favored in 0 games last year. They are now favored in 11 games this year, including week one against the Raiders. Has there really been that significant a roster change with the Patriots? They absolutely got better in the offseason. But I'm talking about, like, you know, the Lakers getting LeBron, or one of these, you know, the Lakers getting Luka, right? Like one of these massive mega trades, the Dodgers getting Ohtani. There was none of that with New England. I think there's way too much of an overreaction. They were a bad football team last year. I don't think now all of a sudden we should be talking playoffs with New England. So playoffs, I'm taking the Raiders plus 3 against the Patriots. I'm taking a money line as well. I think they win the game outright.
Wow.
I think the Raiders are the better team, Jared. I really do. I think they're better. We both are bullish on Las Vegas this season. I think it starts week one against the Patriots. So give me Vegas plus 3, but I'll take a money line as well.
So the reason that I'm not overly bullish on Vegas as a whole is because they have the biggest net rest disadvantage in the NFL. And it's crazy, actually. They're a minus 19, which is like way, way, way down on the bandwagon there when it comes to net rest disadvantage. Actually, Detroit's a plus 13. That's a 32-day gap between the team at the top of the rest chart in the NFL and the team at the bottom. That's a big, big difference. And it's a reason why I think, as much as we're down on the Lions this year, they have a very favorable schedule in terms of rest. How much does a rest advantage matter? It matters more when you're on the road. Over the last 10 years, if you exclude the games in 2020, which obviously the home team did not have any home field advantage there because there was no crowd. If you have a 6-day or more rest advantage, so if you're coming off a bye, or if, you know, Monday night, you know, one of those like weird rest spots, you're at a win rate of like 42%. Your cover rate's under 50%. So it's a big gap. If you are at a rest disadvantage, which Vegas will be at for most of the year, but that doesn't matter in week one. Everyone's on the same rest plane in week one, which is why I think that bet makes a ton of sense. Because right now, all I'm hearing is New England this, New England that. Like, it's pretty impressive, actually, how the Patriots have gone from a laughingstock to now a team that's expected to compete for the division. For context, my ratings, what do we make this game? I make this game, hold on, let me find it. I make it 2.5. So if you're getting 3, yeah, I feel like that's a bet.
I mean, I just, you know, I don't get it. Like, they got Travion Henderson in the draft, think he's going to be a good player. Him and Stevenson should be a nice 1-2 punch. You bring over Diggs in the offseason, coming off an injury. Kyle Williams, a lot of people like, think he would be a nice receiver. He's a rookie. You also got DeMario Douglas and Mac Hollins as well. Defense should be solid, and Vrabel's now your head coach. So I can see why people like New England to be better, but, I mean, this was one of the worst teams in the NFL, and like you said, now people are talking playoffs in a loaded AFC, by the way. You had You had three teams in the AFC West that made it last year. You have the Bengals, the Ravens, the Steelers, and the AFC North. You obviously got the Bills in your own division. AFC South, who knows what happens there? I don't know, man. Not there with the Patriots, but we'll see. Going to be an interesting year for Drake May, Mike Vrabel, and company. Let's talk some golf. Brad Thomas joins us next. Preview Royal Portrush and the Open Championship.
We'll be right back with You Better You Bet, presented by BetMGM, the sportsbook born in Vegas. You're tuned in to You Better You Bet on the BetMGM Network and streaming live on NBC Sports Now, presented by BetMGM on the BetMGM Network.
All right, a couple segments left to go here during the NBC Sports Now Power Hour. You Better You Bet, presented by BetMGM. PJ Glasser and Jared Smith going to give out all of our best bets for the Open Championship coming up next segment. Jared's got a WNBA bet that he likes as well. But let's check in with our guy Brad Thomas to get his thoughts on Royal Portrush, which starts tomorrow morning. Give Brad a follow on X at Mr. Brad Thomas, betting analyst for NBC Sports Bet. And Brad, it's been a topic on the show today. It was part of our social question. Obviously, the Open Championship, Eastern time zone, how early it starts. So what time you setting the alarm tomorrow? Kind of what's your routine for the Open? What's that going to look like?
Yeah, I told my wife I need to be in bed by 9 p.m., right? And then I'm going to set the alarm for 1:30, and I don't even really need to watch the entire first couple groups. I just need to say I did it, right? Like, stay up for 30 minutes, and if I fall asleep, I fall asleep.
Well done. Yeah, that's tough. So for me, I don't even have to go to sleep if I want to watch it, Brad. It starts at 10:30 p.m. for me, so I'm good. Like, I can just basically roll. You know, I can be in bed getting ready to go to sleep before the leaders opening groups there tee off. I think the biggest talk amongst our group here, there's one name that's been floated around a lot this week. We've been talking about the Open all week. It's Jon Rahm, and he's kind of not the favorite, but one of the favorites. I've got him as a top five first round leader bet. I think, you know, I've seen a lot of 12, 13 to ones floated out there for an outright. Where are you on Jon Rahm this week? And do you think he's got a chance to win this tournament?
I think Jon Rahm has a chance to win, right? Like, his pedigree's there. He's playing really good golf. He's a really good open link style golfer. I just have had some trouble getting the 12 to one at an open course, right? First and foremost, this is played on the coast, so the variance is really high. It's really hard for me to take someone lower than like 25 to 1 when I just want to have options. I want to have bullets in the chamber because you get one bad weather draw, and you could try to predict it, but it's unpredictable weather. But you get one bad weather draw, and your golfer could be on the bad side of the draw, and you're out of it. You don't have anybody to root for.
Yeah, it's a really good point. What about some of the other favorites, Brad? What about Scotty and Rory? Obviously, Rory playing a home game there in Northern Ireland. Scotty always the favorite whenever he tees it up. You're not betting those guys outright. Would you do anything with them like head-to-head, three balls, anything with Rory or Scotty?
You know, I don't know how I'm going to get down some action on Rory. It's funny because this is not technically a good course fit for Rory. But so much this season, we've tried to jam Rory into lineups, tried to jam Rory at golf courses that just felt like these driver-heavy courses, and he hasn't really produced. The ones he's done well, the positional courses, the ones that demand accuracy off the tee, and you think about the smaller courses that he's dominated, because he's had to take driver out of the bag, and not out of the bag, but you know what I mean, hit it less than he would hit the other clubs. And I don't know how I'm going to get there. I kind of wanted some shares on him because how good he's been playing. But 7.5, 7 to 1, 8 to 1, I just can't get there. Might take him a little bit for top five, because even at the Scottish Open, a pretty decent prep course for this, he played really well and could have beat Chris Goddard, but just couldn't get the job done.
So I'll give you the other names that are on my first round leader card this week, and you can just thumbs up, thumbs down, you're an idiot, you're a genius, and I'll let you go in whatever direction you want to go with any of the other four guys I have on my list. I gave you Rom, Henley, Rose, Matsuyama, Day. Did I strike any nerves with any of those four guys, Mr. Brad Thomas?
These are first-round leaders?
First-round leader, top five, ties win, right?
Yes, first-round leader. Listen, I made a graphic for the man, Russell Henley. And I'll tell you this, I am a Russell Henley truther. I've been jamming him all I can this year, and he's come up short. But what a perfect fit, right? A course that doesn't demand length off the tee. A course where you have to work the ball and work the ball low, lower trajectory, lower apex. That's Russell Henley to a tee. And what's funny is Russell Henley, 66-1 first round leader, is a guy who's constantly disrespected in the market. Same guy who won at API, but we're just talking about first round leader, right? Let's think about two comp courses or two courses that have similar strategies, Wailea and Pebble Beach. What did he do at those two courses in the first round? At Wailea, he shot a 67, which was a couple strokes off the first, but he still got top five. And then at Pebble, shot a 64, was the first round leader there. You said Justin Rose. I hit him first round leader at the Masters. I was so stoked for that. And you know what? I ran it back here. He has had success at this golf course. He's a really good link style golfer. But more importantly, his volatility is really high. At the price that he comes out, whenever you have those really big numbers, you want high volatility. You want the highs to be as high as possible and the lows to be as low as possible, because it's going to give you more variance, more chance to upset the books, or at least find them on missing prices.
Brad, any other, like, the older players along with Rose that you would target this week? You know, that's one of the beauties of the Open, is it kind of brings everybody into play, it feels like. And a lot of these guys with the experience, especially with the link-style golf courses, they tend to hang around. Patrick Harrington, Sergio, certainly Justin Rose, maybe like an Adam Scott. Was there anybody else kind of in the 40s, maybe 50s, that you took a shot with this week in any kind of market?
You know, I didn't take any of the older guys, but I wouldn't be surprised if we see Zach Johnson hanging around a little bit this week, right? His game's actually in a really good spot considering where it was a few years ago. He's a guy who kind of just gets disrespected on length. And what I mean disrespected is he can't go out and play these 7,500-yard par 70 courses, par 71 courses. He needs something more in his driver range, but he's a guy who can run it up. At link-style courses, you're going to need to get hot with the putter, and he could do that. But my problem with Zach Johnson is you'll see his name flirt with in front of the leaderboard in the first or second round. But then come Sunday, he doesn't even finish top 40, and you just blew a top 40 ticket on him. So I don't really want to waste my money, but I wouldn't be surprised if he's hanging around.
All right, I'll open up the board because I feel like there's someone else. Wait, that you probably can. Oh, wow, you already got something. Go ahead, please.
I totally forgot, because I was thinking of like the age range. Lucas Glover's a pretty good older guy to bet on at 300-1. Dude's been playing really consistent golf, and he's a really great approach player who doesn't hit a really high ball flight, and a guy who gets really, really hot with his putter. 300-1, you back that up with the each way. Man, he finishes top five. You're racking in.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, is there anyone else? Because, again, I think in an event like this, right, unlike the Masters, where I really only see like 10, 15 guys who can really win it, an event like this, the weather, you know, all the volatility, like it feels like the board's wide open. So what are the other guys that are kind of under the radar that you think might have a good showing?
You know, I want to talk about another older guy. I don't know if I'm going to bet him, but I think Adam Scott. I don't bet Adam Scott a lot, but he's another guy whose game is in kind of like this transition mode where he has this beautiful swing, but now he's going from, as you get older, it's less and less power, more finesse. He's also a really good link style player. Another golfer that might be going kind of under the radar, and I could totally be wrong on this, and I'm fine with it, but I think it's Ben Griffin. Ben Griffin has been in contention. He's out-dueled Scottie Scheffler. He's 100-1 this week. He might not have like the favoritism that Patrick Reed's going with in terms of the betting market share, but he's a guy who's just, I don't think people look at him hard enough because they're just so used to Ben Griffin being in contention either in day one or day two, and then the wheels falling off. But, you know, he came out with a quote, and I thought it resonated really well. Like, how do you know you're going to, you know, sleep at night on Sunday and perform well? I mean, on Saturday night and perform well on Sunday. And he said, because I'm a winner. I've proven to myself that I can get the job done. So I'm not afraid, and I don't have nerves. Now it's just out going out and having fun.
Talking Open Championship with Brad Thomas. Give him a follow on X at Mr. Brad Thomas, betting analyst for NBC Sports Bet. Brad, who was the guy, you know, when you were handicapping Port Rush this week, you guy or two that you were going back and forth on, and ultimately you just couldn't get to the window with a bet with that guy? Were there any golfers this week that, you know, maybe Monday, Tuesday, you thought you were going to bet them, but ultimately you just decided to stay away?
Yeah, Tommy Fleetwood was the guy for me. I saw him. He was like 28-1 on Monday. And I am not a Tommy Fleetwood backer in terms of the outright market, but I generally bet him in the placement market. This is just such a perfect fit for him. But when it comes down to it, if Tommy Fleetwood is in that final group with Xander Schauffele, or let's say they have to go threes because of bad weather, and it's Xander Schauffele, Tommy Fleetwood, and Victor Hovland, do I really trust the zero win equity of Tommy Fleetwood over those other two? Not a chance. And when you're talking about someone who's 25-1 now, you really have to think, when push comes to shove, their heart is racing on those last three holes. Is he going to be able to close? And he can't do it, right? He's already failed to close multiple times this season. I just couldn't get there, even though it's such a perfect fit for him.
All right, you have one bullet to fire, Brad. Just one single bullet on who is going to win the tournament. Who is going to lift the claret jug?
I'm going with Mr. Victor Hovland.
Oh,
listen,
man.
I was on Victor Hovland early in the season when he won at Copperhead. And a lot of people downgrade Victor Hovland at this course because his around the green play is just poor. But I think with Victor Hovland, like, he's not going to win tournaments. He's done once before where he lost minus 1.8 strokes. But typically, he's not going to win tournaments when he's not hitting greens. His elite iron play is phenomenal. That's what sets him above all of the other players. I think Victor Hovland, when he was in an interview, they asked him, who is the best golfer without a major? He said, I'm going to have to go with myself. I think he changes that. And I use my single bullet on him.
Brad, is there any golfer right now where the odds, if they continue to drift and get to a certain number, that you might decide to pull the trigger, right? Obviously, as a guy who bets golf, you know, when we get to late Wednesday night, early Thursday morning for some tournaments, you just get a certain number with the guy and you're like, I got to bet so-and-so at that price. Anybody that sticks out to you?
I think I have one of these in my – oh, yeah, I had this in my notes because I was like, listen, if Hideki just keeps going past the 90s through the 100s, even though I don't think Hideki stands a chance to win, if I get like a Hideki plus 110-1, like, I'm going to take it. Doesn't matter. He's a major champion. He has the win equity, and he has the skill set with the ball striking to compete.
I like it. I mean, Hideki's on my list. I've got him. I bet him as the top Japanese player at plus money. I thought that was a pretty decent bet.
Yep.
Are you into those superlatives? I mean, I know they can be a little hit or miss with the odds, right? It's an index market, so you just don't know. But are those, like, you know, the top Irishman, top European, top continental this, top American, top senior? Like, those markets can be fun, right?
Yeah, so I play those markets a lot in the other majors. When you think about the Open, the amount of unpredictability and also the amount of different styles of golfers that can win, it leaves the door open, especially at links courses, for some of those longer shots. But I don't want to just go and bet someone just because I think they have a chance. I want to make sure it has value on it. So I don't really do that market in the Open, but it's a fun market. I looked at Hideki's. Last time I checked, he was like plus 105 on BetMGM. And I think his biggest competition is Ryo, maybe, if he's in that group. I don't think that you should have a problem sweating that if you took Hideki in that market.
Brad, who would be a golfer that you would look to fade this week? Maybe you take them to miss the cut. Maybe you would take them, you know, you would target to fade them in any kind of matchup. Like, who's the guy you would be surprised if Sunday early morning they're in contention?
The guy I'm looking to fade, man, I'm probably just looking to fade Ludvig Åberg. And it's not because he can't win. The guy can win any golf course, any tournament at any time. But he just has this weird volatility. It's almost like Justin Thomas-like, where he can go out there and he can shoot 65, or he can go out there and shoot 77. I would have said Justin Thomas is the guy I want to fade. And I had someone ask me a similar question. They said, should you fade Justin Thomas? But his odds are actually more in the favorable range, being 55-1 as opposed to 25-1. So fading him, I'm not really getting good value, as I am Åberg. You just got to pray. if Oberg has his bad round in rounds one or two, then he misses the cut and you don't have to sweat it. But if he plays decently well or he's first round leader, and then now you got a little sweating to do.
Brad, before I let you go, man, I'm an Alabama grad. You're a guy, you got family there in Tuscaloosa. Hey. Roll Tide as well. Let's talk some college football, baby. Brad. We talk SEC media days. We've talked college football on the show. How do you think Bama's going to fare this year? Would you bet him national championship market to win the SEC? What's your season outlook for the Tide?
I do the homer bet of Alabama probably every single year. This year was the first year to win the SEC that it was actually good value. They return a ton on defense. And Kane Womack, since about middle of the season, had one of the best defenses in college football. Now they have some more leadership. I think it's like 12 seniors on the entire football team. I like Alabama a lot this year, and it's not just because I love the Tide.
There you go, my man. Brad Thomas, give him a follow on X, at Mr. Brad Thomas, betting analyst for NBC Sports Bet. Always great talking golf, college football with them. Brad, enjoy the Open, my friend. We'll talk to you again soon.
Roll Tide!
Yes, sir. My man, there it is. Roll Tide. 15-1 to win the national championship, Jared Smith. Now they're down to 12-1. So we'll see with Brad. Anything that stuck out to you with that conversation with Brad? I was surprised that he was so against Ludwig, right? We talked about it, fading him, you know, over the weekend. It does bring up a good point, though. The guy is as volatile as it comes.
I think Hovland has to be a bet. I mean, you know, I feel like, and I rely on you fine folk to, you know, download my golf knowledge, and I feel like you've been uploading a lot of Victor Hovland takes this week to me.
A lot of Victor Hovland. Well, we're going to unload the chamber on all of our golf bets. Jared will give his, I will give mine, Tyler will join us, Brad Evans as well. We'll find out what's coming up on BetMGM tonight. We wrap the show next.
We'll be right back with You Better You Bet, presented by BetMGM, the sportsbook born in Vegas. You're tuned in to You Better You Bet on the BetMGM Network and streaming live on NBC Sports Now, presented by BetMGM on the BetMGM Network.
And welcome back to You Better You Bet, presented by BetMGM. This is the NBC Sports Now Power Hour. All of our bets for the Open Championship coming up here in a little bit. I got 17 of them, Jared Smith.
Wow.
17. That's 14 more bets than Jad Chisholm had home runs. So look forward to that. Tyler Morales has a whole bunch of bets, too. I know Jared's got some as well, so we got all that coming. Some thank yous to give out. Shout out to Adam Rittenberg for joining us today. Talk some college football, braving the elements with it. Sounded like Adam was dealing with some rain. Brad Thomas for joining us as well just now, talking some golf and some college football. So appreciate both of those gentlemen joining us. Also, our behind-the-scenes crew, as always, Addy, Jake Hassan, Tyler Morales, Mike Brown, and Sean Haw on social. Always doing a great job for us here on YBYB. But let's check in with our guy, Brad Evans, who you can catch coming up BetMGM tonight. Brad and Corey Parson, 7 to 11 p.m. Eastern Time. Brad, how are we on this Wednesday?
Oh, amigos, and welcome to the deadest sports day of the year.
We made it.
It is, Brad. It is. It truly is. Brad, what do you what do you do on these days when we're waiting around for baseball? I mean, we have some golf tomorrow, but what are you doing now that the Derby's over, the All-Star game? How do you pass in the time?
Oh, man, I am eyeball deep right now in fantasy football takes and research, turning out all kinds of fresh content on my site, which is free to access, thegamingjuice.com. We got this NFL Gamer's Guide, and I've been churning out a ton of season previews, best fantasy value, player prop pick, team lean, over-under on wins total. Today, I unfurled the Denver Broncos, and that's a team that could make some serious noise there in the Mile High City. So you can get all of my gratuitous takes there at thegamingjuice.com. And, of course, you know, I'm dabbling a little WNBA as well because this sicko never stops. And make sure you guys tune in to BetMGM tonight with myself and Corey Parson. Lots of fantasy football takes wall to wall beginning and on the show tonight.
Yeah, this is the time for it. I mean, I was telling the group chat this morning, I woke up this morning and I'm like, what do I do with all this time? And I got my nose deep in some NFL books and I really started to push that ball forward. Is there anything in the fantasy world that maybe, hey, this is the top storyline over the next week or two as we now start to get into draft season, as we now start to get into the preseason? Is there something like, hey, keep your eyes fixated on this player, this coach, this team, this awards market? Like, what would be your number one storyline that you've unearthed in your research this morning, Brad?
Really, there are a couple of them. One is Terry McLaurin and his contract dispute and situation, saying yesterday that he's openly frustrated with how it's gone down between him and decision makers of the Washington Commanders. Isn't a holdout a possibility? And that's always a concern in fantasy land. So I'm really going to be curious to see what happens to his ADP, average draft position value, here in the next couple of weeks as we get closer and closer to the heart of the fantasy football draft season, which is always peak at the last week of August. So maybe McLaurin will sign on the dotted line by then, but it's anyone's best guess what ultimately occurs there in the nation's capital. And the other big one for a team that's already in training camp, the LA Chargers. You know, Najee Harris nearly shot his eye out, kid.
Yeah.
With that fireworks mishap. And Omarion Hampton is all the talk, all the rage right now in Fantasyland. His average draft position barely inside the top 50 picks overall. Dude is built like a Sherman tank. He was a yak machine at North Carolina last season. Again, he didn't play for the Sisters of the Motherless Poor. He played for UNC. He is the type of player, in my mind, Jared, first preseason game for the Chargers. He gets a ball to belly, rips off like a 15-yard run. It'll go viral, and fantasy drafter pants will melt simultaneously, and they'll be extending that go-go gadget arm to get him in every single draft imaginable. So keep your eyes out on the rookie out of UNC. He could make some serious statistical noise in year one.
Love it. Already bet him to win Offensive Rookie of the Year, Brad. Omarion Hampton. I'm a big fan of his. One more before we let you go, Brad. 50 days until the start of the NFL season and week one. Jared and I were breaking down Bears and Vikings on Monday Night Football. Jared likes the Vikings. I like the under in the game. 44.5. Bears a small favorite. Any thoughts on that week one opener? Do you like your Bears? Anything with the total?
Yeah, I'll probably stay away from my Bears because when I bet on them, it's usually a donation to BetMGM. You're welcome, Lions Roar. I do kind of like the under as well, divisional game. Yep. You know, maybe a little bit of rust is going to be built up. You know, we'll have to see how these teams perform with the first stringers in you know, the preseason. There's just so many questions around this Bears team. You know, Ben Johnson, the schematics are going to be light years better and then they were last year under Eberflus. And I think Caleb Williams going to have a breakout year. I love Roma Dunze as well, but you know, is DeAndre Swift going to be respectable? We know the Bears defense should be a borderline top 10 unit. The Vikings are going to be no slouches in their own right offensively and especially defensively. So I expect that game to be a war of attrition, but there could be a lot of takeaways. And of course, Mother Nature could play a factor in these early weeks.
Sure.
And I'm not talking about rain or any other precipitation. We're talking about extreme heat. I'm here in Central Illinois, and boy, it was awfully soupy and sweaty today, and that could be the case week one in Chi-Town as well.
Yeah, that humidity.
Coming to the desert.
No joke.
10% humidity here today in the desert, Brad. It's beautiful.
I miss living out west for that reason.
That's so nice. That humidity, fellas, it is not easy. Oh, it's a killer. Brad Evans, BetMGM tonight, coming up with Corey Parson, 7 to 11 p.m. Eastern Time. Brad, have a great show.
Ari McDonald over 3.5 assists in the W tonight. I'm out.
There you go. Love absolutely love it. All right, Jake, let's drop the dope-ass beat, pay the bills, and tell you that BetMGM players will receive the Open Championship Odds Boost token. To use this Odds Boost token, add a wager made up entirely of open wagers to your bet slip and activate the token. Sportsbook born in Vegas. Please gamble responsibly. And also, go inside the ropes with the Golf Channel podcast hosted by Rex Hoggard and Ryan Lavner. Tune in weekly as Rex and Lav discuss and debate the latest news from the pro, college, and amateur game. Watch the Golf Channel podcast with Rex and Lav on YouTube or listen wherever you get your podcasts. All right, let's give out our best bets of the evening. Jared, I will start with you, all your golf bets for the Open, and also I know you got a WNBA wager as well.
Yeah, I'll give you the W first. Only one game on the card tonight that is intriguing. We do have Fever Liberty, but it doesn't look like Caitlin Clark's going to play in that game based on the line movement, based on everything I'm seeing. New York now out to a 10-point favorite at home against Indiana, and that total's dropped a couple points. So it looks like no Caitlin Clark tonight for the Fever at the Liberty. However, the Wings and the Aces do play in Dallas later tonight. Seen a little bit of movement on that total, down from 171.5 down to now 170. I did bet the under in that game. One of the great odds makers, or I guess I'll call them lines makers, guys who does some modeling for the WNBA, has this game at 161.5, which is a pretty big gap between what the current total is. This model hasn't been great this season, but still pretty reliable over the long haul. So I'll go over Wings and Aces, especially if you can find a 170.5 out there in the market. I'll give you my five first-round leader bets. When you're making first-round leader bets, and I'm doing a top five placement first-round leader bet, the key is you want ties to pay in full. This is why we love BetMGM. They are one of the few books, I think they're one of the only big box shops, that pays out ties in full. This is crucial for a first-round leader bet because odds are you're going to have 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 guys all bunched up within a few couple shots of each other at the top. You want the ties to pay in full. You're going to pay, pay a little extra big to get that, but I think it's worth it in the long run. John Rahm 5-1, Russell Henley 8-1, Justin Rose 9-1, Decky 11-1, Jason Day 14-1. These are top five first round bets. I don't care what they do on Friday or Saturday or Sunday. Rahm, Henley, Rose, Decky, Day. If one of them cashes, we're up. So I just need one of those guys to finish in the top five in the first round, and we will finish positive on the day. Two props, Decky to be the top Japanese player, plus money at BetMGM. Love that. Very little competition. We think Decky's a little bit undervalued, as many experts have given us this week. And Jason Day, first round, under 71.5 for his score. I like that he's the AM grouping. From what we're hearing, the weather's going to come in later in the day, so I'm not as bullish on the guys on the late, late, early start times. I prefer early, late if you're betting something on those first two rounds. And I think Jason Day, pretty high number there, 71.5 will go under for the vet.
Very good. Tyler Morales, let's go to you real quick. All your favorite bets for the Open.
Yes, five outright bets. My pick to win, John Rahm, like him at 12-1. Victor Hovland, 30-1. I think he's going to have a great tournament this week. He finished high last week. He could have easily won, just had one bad round. Matthew Fitzpatrick, I gave him my last week. Love him. I think he's going to contend here. And then two long shots, Hideki Matsuyama and Ben Griffin, 100-1. Also like some derivative stuff. Nick Taylor to finish in the top 20, plus 350. Ryan Fox, plus 300 to finish the top 20. And then Ryan Fox over our guy, JJ Spawn. So those are all my outright bets. Let's go, John Rahm.
Very good. All right, my outright card, three guys. You sold me on Rahm this week, boys. I'll take him. Also, Russell Henley's been my guy. And then give me Brooks Koepka, who's now at 80-1. His caddy, Ricky Elliott. It's also a home game for him. Everybody's talking about Rory. Ricky Elliott grew up right down the course. It's Brooks in a major, and he's at 80-1. Tyler, we saw a little something from Brooks at Oakmont, so I'll ride at 80-1. Three ball, Scotty against Lowry and Morikawa at minus 110 tomorrow morning. I like that. Sergio and his three ball. I like him at plus 125 as well. Brooks and Matteo Montecero is number one on the PGA Tour in scrambling, the Italian. I like him at 170-1 first-round leader. I also like him to be the top Italian against Guido Migliozzi and Frankie Molinari. And then Rahm Fleetwood, top 10. Henley, Justin Thomas, Brooks, top 20. Ludvig, I talked about that with you guys earlier. I like him round one against Rory tomorrow at plus 130. And then matchups I like through the tournament, Adam Scott over Keegan Bradley, Cam Young over Goddard, and Matt Fitz over Patrick Cantlay. Three tournament matchups that I like for tomorrow at Royal Portrush. Can't wait for the games to begin early tomorrow morning. Jared Smith, another great show, my friend. Hopefully, I've never had a sip of coffee in my entire life. We'll see if I may need to change
really?
It tomorrow. Never, never.
Wow.
We can get into that tomorrow. We can get into that tomorrow.
Good
Maybe
luck.
Tomorrow it starts. I appreciate it. It's going to be a battle. Can't wait for the golf. Great show. We'll see you guys tomorrow. BetMGM Tonight up next.
Thanks for listening to You Better You Bet. Up next, it's BetMGM Tonight on the BetMGM Network.